Thank you, Corey. We'll take a 15 to 17 minute break. In California, that would be 11 o'clock. And Corey, if it's okay with you, should we open it up for some questions after you come back? Yes, you can go to 12, or we're going to open it up to some questions. And then, so if you have questions for Corey, think about it. We'll deal with them when we come back. All of this recorded, and you can find the recordings. If Louisa would put them in the chat, I would appreciate that. At msbrecording.com, amataudio.com, or recoverytapers.com. And if you want to talk to us about any of our speakers or anything that's going on, let me open up the chat. Yeah, it's open. Email us at awbroundup@gmail.com. And we'd be more than happy to give you anything that you're asking for, if I can help. If you want to talk to one of our speakers, I can forward the emails. If you have speakers that you've heard in the past and you would like to have them for an event, feel free to contact us. Also, this whole session is recorded into American Sign Language, which will be in the Deaf Library, Hands of Serenity and Sober Hands at amataudio.com. So for if you know anybody that is in the deaf community that has a yen for recovery or would like to try it out, that's a way for them to listen to a CD in their language. Our next AWB will be May 21st on a Saturday. We will do emotional sobriety in the morning with Paula G and Carla Rowell. And that's AA, but anybody's welcome. That's what I love about emotional sobriety. And in the afternoon, we'll be talking about conflict resolution with Sally Ann from New Zealand. For those of you who are regulars, know Sally Ann. She's done a thing on the traditions with her husband. That's what I got coming up. And then this afternoon, we'll be talking about emotional sobriety with Debbie D from Concord. And I've been doing a couple of things. We have a speaker, and her name, we had a speaker, she's passed away, and her name was Blanche D. And I just love Blanche, I do. And you know, I just marvel at spiritual principles, and there is no expiration date on them. It doesn't matter when somebody wrote it, it doesn't get old. I mean, your clothes get old, the car gets out of fashion, the colors get out of fashion. There's a lot of things that get old, die, and get out of fashion. But spiritual principles are sort of, it never gets old. So can you, hold on. Can you guys see this? Somebody nod. Am I screen sharing now, Billy? Can you see? Lisa? Yeah, oh yeah, I am screen sharing, aren't I? Thank you. And some of you may know this and some of you may not know this, but this is some of the things that comes from the letters from Blanche. And I love this one because I found myself doing this the other day. I just got a perspective from this from a whole different angle. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it, and I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault, and I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I walk around it. And then the last one is I walk down another street. And isn't that, for me, is so typical from doing the same thing over and over. And I did something that I knew. I know I make up stories. I know they're not true. And I knew I was making up a story. I knew it wasn't true. I was trying to talk to my story and tell it to go and take a hike. And it wasn't until somebody demystified it, she didn't know it, the story was about her, that I thought, oh, and I thought, how can I be believing a story that I know I'm making up? It made me think of this. And I just I just took some pictures of some of her stuff. This is just one of those poems that that she wrote. Because I care, I will look you in the eyes when you talk to me. I will think about what you are saying rather than what I am going to say next. I will hear your feelings as well as your words. I will listen without defending. I will hear without deciding whether you're right or wrong. I will ask you why, not just how, when, and where. I will allow you inside me. I will tell you my hopes, my dreams, my fears, and my hurts. I will tell you when I've blown it and when I've made it. Because I care, I will laugh with you, not at you. I will talk with you, not to you. And I will know when it's time to do neither. I won't climb over your walls. Instead, I will hang around until you let me in your gate. I won't unlock your secrets. I will wait until you hand me the key. I will love you anyhow, but I will ask for the best you can give and gently draw it from you. I will put away my scripts, leave my solutions at home. The performances will end and we will be ourselves. Because I care, I will keep you in my heart and in my mind and in my prayers. I just love the way that woman writes. And you know what? I've been listening to Corey, and kudos to you, Corey. This poem is a lot about the stuff you talked about. And one day, Blance was also a past trustee and a past delegate and blah, blah. And one day she was doing a workshop and she decided to write down the effect that control had in her life when she exercises it. And this is some of the stuff she came up with. Control gives orders and leadership sets an example. Control hovers. Leadership lends support. Control is rigid. Leadership encourages creativity. Control takes credit for all success. Leadership gives credit where it's due. Control criticizes, points out errors. Leadership sees and praises strength. Control drives. Leadership coaches. Control builds on authority. Leadership builds on goodwill. Control says, I. Leadership says, we. Control fixes blame for the problem. Leadership fixes the problem. Control says, go. Leadership says, let's go. Control uses methods that fill the needs of the controller. Leadership fills the needs of those being led. Control goes it alone. Leadership knows the source. And she wrote this in her service positions. And then there's always some fun. Then there is this. Let's make it smaller so we can see the whole thing. There. That's what happens when I try to just take one day at a time. And sometimes, you know, still several days attack me. Somebody's having unmuted. Please mute. We could find the person and mute them. There's fun things that she used to cut out of magazines or things that resemble Al-Anon. I hope you guys can see this. Ooh. Let me not make you crazy. It's about letting go. I hope I'm not going too fast, but I'm going to scroll up. Can't see anybody because I'm looking at my screen. What else did I do? Oh, yeah. This was another one I found in one of her letters that I thought was, huh. Isn't that beautiful? And I heard Corey talk about not being a people pleaser, but an approval sucker. And it does drain other people when we do that. That was the picture that I saw. So this was just some of the stuff that I just thought I wanted to share with you. I have some more and I will get to that. Let me stop sharing here. Oh, there we go. Much better. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up for questions. And if you're lucky, you even get an answer or maybe direction. And if you want to talk to Corey, look for the blue electronic hand and stick it up. If you don't know how to find that, you can find me in the chat and just ask me, or if you wave, one of us will catch you. Bruce have a hand of doing that sometimes. I hear Bruce wants to talk, he's waving. So Bruce just ignores the blue hand. He does it just with his real hand, right, Bruce? Yeah, I know. So yeah, isn't that funny? And Margaret and Bruce live in the same area, just in case you guys don't know. It's Grass Valley, Northern California. Beautiful. If you ever want to go vacation, go Grass Valley and Nevada City, two of my favorite spots. I know. I should come and visit you, Margaret, by the way. I was thinking about that the other day. I should go up and visit. See you too, Bruce. I haven't seen you in a long time. So I'm going to pull up my screen. And Martha already has her hand up. Lovely. Are you ready for that, Corey?
Sure, whatever you want to do.
Great. Okay, Martha, would you...
I was wondering, what tradition was that with the finances?
All of them? we worked on... When I was talking about the finances, I was talking about Tradition 1, our common welfare, Tradition 2, group purpose. Primary purpose is a loving God who may express himself in our group... conscience, our leaders are our trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 4, being autonomous. And Tradition 5, encouraging, supporting alcoholic relatives, working the steps ourselves. And then Tradition 6, not allowing problems of money, property, and prestige from diverting us from our primary spiritual purpose.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hey, Martha. Anybody else? Really? Wow, I'm impressed, you guys. Nobody wants to talk to Corey. Nobody has a question.
Bruce does. He's got a real hand, blue hand up.
Bruce found his hand. Okay, Bruce, can you unmute yourself? There you go.
There we go. Corey, this is not the first time I've heard you, love. And I identify somewhat with your military husband, mm-hmm. being one myself. But that part about Trad 4, being an autonomous human being in the marriage itself, that took me a long time in my 52 years of marriage to get there, but yeah. I got there.
Thank you, Bruce. Anybody else? Anybody have any questions about the traditions? Anything you want to know? Anything you want to share?
I can keep going and finish a little early, Yvonne, and then anybody's got any questions when we're all done with it, all of it, we can go back that way.
Go for that.
All right. Tradition 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. I love this tradition as it applies directly to me. I need to be fully self-supporting my emotional, physical, mental, spiritual needs. They're all mine. That means I am responsible for me. That means I also need to know what my needs are. I need to know what my wants are. If I need to express my needs, I need to know what they are to be able to express them. The other thing that tells me is I can change my mind, or things can change, or I can go in a different direction. As a result of working the steps and working through these traditions, I have a pretty good sense of where I end and where my husband starts, and where I start and where he ends. We are interdependent, we are not dependent. For anybody who knows me, I hate the word codependent because I'm not co-anything. But I can be very dependent on other people to make me feel okay. I've not been willing in the past to take responsibility and accountability for my own choices. Getting a sponsor, the first time I asked somebody for help was the first time I was willing to take responsibility for my own recovery. I have to know what's mine to do and what's his to do. That idea of knowing what my boundaries are, they're my boundaries. They're not walls to keep him out. They're not fences to keep me in. Their boundaries of what I'm willing to do, what I'm not willing to do, what I'm willing to live with, what I am not willing to live with. one of the things we struggled with for a long time was going out to eat, going to restaurants. And he'd say, where do you want to go to eat? And I'd say, I don't care. And he'd say, you don't ever participate. And I'd say, all right, fine. Where do you want to go to eat? He'd say, where do you want to go to eat? And I'd say, well, I want to go here. And he said, I don't want to go there. I said, see, this is why I don't ever tell you where I want to go to eat. So what has worked for us recently over the past couple of years is I will say, I'm willing to pretty much go anywhere, but I am not in the mood for Chinese, or I don't want to do this. And then anywhere else he wants to go is fine. And we had an argument about it a little bit because he said, you never tell me where you want to go. And I said, because every time I tell you where you want, I want to go, you say you don't want to go there. He said, that's not true. And I said, okay, fine. He said, you pick dinner. I said, I want to go to Chili's. He said, I don't want to go there. I said, see? He said, what? What did you just say? And he didn't even realize he had done it. So what we've come to do now is if he asks me, where do you want to go? If I got a feeling, I'll tell him. If I've got a feeling of what I don't want, because oftentimes I'm much more better at what I don't want than what I do want, I'll tell him. We just had a conversation yesterday, and it is a conversation. I will tell you this. One of the things I've done for Yvonne, I've done it a couple times, is this whole idea of communication, because I think in order to be healthy in a relationship, I have to learn how to communicate in a relationship. And one of the things my sponsor said is when you start a conversation with the word you, you're not in a conversation, you're having a confrontation. So I've had to start, I treat him the way I treat the women that I sponsor, and I ask them questions. I don't tell them what to do. I say, you know, things like, well, what do you want to do? Or do you have any thoughts on, or would you be willing to contemplate this? Or why would you do this? Why wouldn't you do this? The other thing, and this will, when we come up to tradition 10 about opinions, I often ask him, do you want my opinion on that? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes he's like, I just want to vent. I'm like, okay, fine. But I'll ask him questions. We did it actually yesterday morning. I said, have you given any thought to what we're going to do about Christmas? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, do you want to do stocking stuffers? Do you want to do gifts? Do you want to do nothing? And he said, I want to do stocking stuffers. I'd like to do stocking stuffers. I said, that's great. I'm all about the stocking stuffers. He said, I don't want to do big gifts. That's fine too. And he said, and I don't want to do little gifts. I just want to do stuff like olives and oysters and chocolate in the stocking. Perfect. We can have those conversations. But I have to be willing to participate. I will tell you, my favorite concept of all of them is concept 4. Participation is the key to harmony. If I want to have a voice, if I want to participate, if I want to be included, I have to participate, right? And when I don't get included and my feeling gets hurt, it's because I have chosen not to participate. I want to be happy. I need to be willing to participate. That doesn't mean I get my way. I just have to participate. All right. So tradition 8, and I'm going to go through some of these very relatively quickly so we can get to the 10 and we can get to some questions. Tradition 8, Al-Anon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. What this does for me is it keeps me focused on experience, strength, and hope. Not about giving advice. It's not about me telling my husband what he needs to do. It's about me saying to him, the whole thing with retirement, have you considered talking to the people you work with? No, I'm not talking to them. At which point one of them said, are you willing to talk to me? He said, yeah, okay, I'm willing to talk to you. That's my job, is to ask those kind of questions. Are you willing to do that? No. What are you willing to do? Are you, you know, this will have an impact going forward. Are you willing to be, are you okay with that? I give him, it's my responsibility to give him information. What he does with it is up to him. We have very specific delineated lines of responsibility. As a result of all the stuff that happened with the finances, so after we came together on a plan to pay off that $42,000 in debt, I wanted to pay it off in 7 years, he wanted to pay it off in a year, and I had enough sense and enough program to say to him, his idea was, okay, we will not spend a dime on anything for a year until this whole thing is paid off. And I said to him, I will resent the hell out of you if we do that. I will always say, I didn't get to do this because of you. I said, I'm not willing to do that. Let's come together. We came together with a financial plan. He got a new sponsor. I had my sponsor. We had this financial plan. We agreed to pay the debt off in 5 years, and we ended up paying it off in 3.5. And we were good about until 2017, 17 and a half, somewhere in there. What ended up happening was when my husband starts getting focused on something. He's a gadget guy. If he had his way, he would own every gadget on the planet and we'd live in a tent. And he starts watching these YouTube videos. And I know when he starts getting caught up in a new gadget. And we were in bed one night and I leaned over and I happened to see he was looking at a YouTube video about a watch. And I said, "What you watching?" This is how it sounded to me. "Nothing!" He says it wasn't like that. That's how I heard it. And I knew he was going down the rabbit trail. And so on Monday morning, he's coming out of the shower at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And he said to me, he's in the bedroom, and he said, "I bought the watch." Now, we have an agreement. One of the things we did as a result of the financial issues that we've had is we've made an agreement that neither one of us will spend more than $250 at a pop without talking to the other one first. Now, I will tell you, he will readily tell you, that's for him, not for me. It takes everything in my power to spend any money on me. I'm getting better at it. But in the year that I actually traded my camera in and bought a new camera, both he and my mother stood at the camera store and they watched me and I could hear them say, "Is she really going to do this? Is she really going to trade this camera? Oh my God, is she really going to buy the camera? Look at that. She's doing it. She's doing it." It was like I was some sort of reality show. They couldn't believe I was doing it. I couldn't believe I was doing it actually, but I did. So we have this agreement that neither one of us will spend more than $250 without talking to the other one first. It started at 50, went to 75, went to 100, went to 150. We're now at 250. So when he said he bought the watch, I came out of the bathroom and I said to him, "How much did you pay for it?" And he said, "I got it on sale." I walked back in the bathroom and I came back out and I said, "That is not an answer to my question." And he said, "I bought it at Best Buy." Still not answering my question. And he said, "I can't talk about this right now. I have to go to work." And I thought, I'm going to have to kill him. I'm going to have to hit him in the head with a brick. And so I called my sponsor at 7 a.m., completely out of cycle, not anywhere close to the time I usually call her. And she picked the phone up and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Can I hit him in the head with a brick?" And she said, "It will not get you the response or the reaction that you're looking for." I'm like, "Are you sure?" She's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm sure." And she said to me, she said, "You know, you and Ken have done a lot of work on the finances, a tremendous amount of work on the finances, but I think perhaps it's time for you guys to get some outside help. Because we can't fix everything in Al-Anon, and that's where this tradition ain't. We're not professional. You need some outside help about this particular issue." And so she encouraged me to talk to him about that. And I came home, and what I basically said to him is, "It's not about the money, it's about the trust. I can't trust you when it comes to you saying something and doing something else." And so he agreed to go to counseling, and we went to counseling. Didn't go to a lot of it. We only did a few sessions, but we were released pursuant to the counselor said that he'd given us some tools. And it was true. He'd given us a lot of tools. What we discovered when we went to that counseling was that we both had very different ideas about what money meant. For Kent, money was freedom and spontaneity and generosity. For me, it was security, and I was task-oriented. And the counselor described it like this to Kent. He said, "You know, you've given her the task of building a house, and you've made her responsible for building your financial house. And when you go and do something like buying a watch, what you've basically done is ripped a window out of the house that you've asked her to build for you guys. And it's not fair." We also discovered he had some old ideas and I had odd ideas about the money being security for me. For him, the money was, he felt like he was a kid having to ask for permission. And the counselor gave him a way to look at that. He said, "No, what you're doing is you're actually being a man of integrity and character. You're abiding by your word. And what you will do is you will learn to speak to each other and talk to each other, and you would develop that trust again." And as a result of that, it's opened up conversations for us about all sorts of stuff, about the retirement, about getting Ragnar, about what we were willing to spend, about travel. It's really, I love to travel, love to travel. We've had to cancel so many trips this year. I am so bummed about having to cancel all of these trips. And I keep trying to figure out where we can go, where it'd be responsible for us to go. And I keep trying to suck Kent in. And God bless Kent. He said, you know, last week, he said, "You know, as much as I want to go, I don't think it's responsible for us to go anywhere." And I heard him, finally. I heard him. So we're not going anywhere this year. But that didn't stop me from trying to rein him into my way of looking at it. But that's, you know, that idea of getting the professional help so that we could learn to talk about the money. And once we did learn to talk about the money, it's allowed us to talk about all sorts of other stuff, not just the money. The other thing about this is the idea of being non-professional, but service centers may employ special workers. Some of us have expertise in certain areas. For example, Kent, like I told you, is a big picture kind of guy. I am the detail-oriented one. When we do the traveling, and the other thing that's hilarious about this is, as my husband and I have grown in recovery and we've grown in our relationship and we've applied these traditions, he's been willing to step outside his comfort zone and develop some of his skills, and I've been willing to allow him to do that and not take on everything. So in the beginning, when we knew we couldn't travel, and he decided, all right, we're going to start looking at what we can do when we can travel. And this is where my sponsor says, use your talent, use your assets for good and not evil. Use your talents for good and not evil. My husband can get, making sure he can't hear me, a tad obsessive at times. And so he took his obsession and he started applying it to travel. And he found some guy on the internet, on YouTube, who does cruising. He has, but in this time of COVID, I think he must have watched 100 different videos about what it meant to go cruising. And so now he's got all these ideas about cruises. Then he moved from there to Germany, and he found all these places in Germany that we should go. And then we've moved from there to hiking in the Lake District. And so my husband is using his particular skill set on YouTube to find all of these places for us to go. And once we ascertain that we can actually go someplace, then I will use my skill set of the details and plan the trip. And that is this idea of, we're non-professional, but we're going to play to each other's strengths. Tradition 9, our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. I have written down here, I am not in charge. I may be tasked, but I still need to take it to the group conscience. A number of years ago, I was asked to speak at a conference that was a week-long conference out west. And I said to the person on the phone, I said, I so gratefully appreciate this invitation. Let me speak to my husband and call you back. And she said, you have to ask his permission. And I said, no, but you're asking me to take a week-long vacation. He gets a voice in there. That I want him to come with me, but he may not be able to do it for work. So I need to include him in that decision. I said in here that I do not get to wield my authority like a sword. I will cut off my foot or your head. I don't get to do that. I am not in charge. I'm tasked with certain things. When we started looking to retire, and there were things that we needed to do around the house, I am tasked with, what do we need to do around the house? The thing we're doing right now is replacing windows. And I said to Kent, do we want to do all of them? Do we want to do these? What do we want to do? He said, find out. So I got the quote for the windows. And I said, man, that is more money than I want to spend on windows. I don't want to spend money on windows. He said, no, it's no fun spending money on windows, but are we going to spend the money now or later? Or are we just going to spend the money? And we're going to end up having to spend the money one way or the other. He said, do it once, just get it done. So I don't get to make those decisions on my own. I'm tasked with gathering information and bringing it back, but I am directly responsible to serving to my family. That also works in my work setting. You know, I am not in charge at work. I get to help people. We get to be of service to people. I am a font of information because I've been there so long, but I am not in charge. My sponsor says, you're not the boss of no one. I said, that is true. I am not the boss of no one except myself. Tradition 10. The Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name, ought never be drawn into public controversy. Okay, I love this tradition as well. It is one of my faves of all time because, one, in my position, I'm not allowed to have any political opinions because of the nature of my job, which I absolutely love. And I have probably taken that to the extreme, but I still love it. My mother-in-law loves to call me up and say, I know you're not supposed to have an opinion on this, but what's your opinion on this? And I will say to her, I have no opinion on that. And at one point, Ken said, you most certainly do have an opinion. I said, actually, I don't. If I can't have an opinion, I don't. That's just wasted space in my brain. Why do I need to think about that? I don't have an opinion on that. What I have is, what is mine to do here? What can I do in my little corner of the world? Other thing is, just because somebody asks for my opinion, whether I've got one or not, doesn't mean I have to give it. I struggle with this with some of the women that I sponsor, that their kids will call and say, they've asked my opinion, so I gave it. I said, how'd that go over? And they'd say, not well. Did you think about not giving your opinion? No, they asked for it. They must want it. Not necessarily true. I've had family members ask my opinion and then want to argue with me about my opinion. just because somebody asks doesn't mean I need to give it. I love when somebody asks my opinion to turn it around in questions. Well, what do you think about that? Why do you think about that? What would you do in those circumstances instead of engaging? If I have an opinion, chances are pretty good I am attached to my opinion. And I am attached to my opinions to the point that I will defend it to my death or yours, preferably yours. And I will argue with you until you keel over and agree with me. You won't necessarily agree with me, but you'll agree with me just to shut me up. So I don't have opinions on outside issues. Doesn't matter to me. You can have all the opinions you want on outside issues. I don't necessarily want to listen to your opinions, but I've taught to be respectful and courteous and to deflect, which is, that's me being genuine to me. I don't want to waste my time and my energy, because what happens when I develop an opinion about something, we then have a team. Team right, which is my team, of course, and team wrong, which is you. Team me and team loser. You know, my side, the wrong side. I'm always attaching judgment when I have an opinion, and I don't want to do that anymore. There are certain areas where I need to be able to discern and I need to be able to judge, but that is for me. That's not for anybody else. When we were doing the election here, 4 days ago, whenever it was, in my infinite wisdom, I assumed that everybody on the planet was going to vote absentee, and there'd be like 3 people at the polls. So I was just going to go to the polls and vote. I wasn't going to be bothered to go and try and do it early. So when I showed up at the polls to vote, the line in my polling place was completely around the polling place. Apparently, I'm the only person in the entire state of Alabama who believes in wearing a mask when you are outside. And I have a sense of what 6 feet was. I did not talk to everybody in line and tell them what I thought about them not wearing a mask. I did not yell at people to back up. I stayed on my little spot where I was supposed to spot. I kept my 6 feet distance. There was a woman who kept inching up on me and inching up on me, and I finally turned around and I said, would you please mind keeping a little distance? Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. They can do whatever they want to do. I'm just responsible for me. And that's what this Tradition 10 says. I don't want to be drawn into public controversy. I used to tell you I like to argue. That's not true. I like to argue to win. And that goes back to that idea. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? You know, do I want to be right or do I want to be free? I am not responsible for anybody else on this planet except myself, right? And what anybody else does is up to them. My sponsor has said to me for a number of years, you are always an example. You can be a very good example or a very loud warning, but you are always an example. People are watching. They're watching me. I'm watching them. And everybody shows me a little bit of who I want to be and who I don't want to be. And I go back to that question that I'm asking myself on a regular, consistent basis. Who is that woman that God's calling me to be, he's creating me to be, and he's challenging me to be? And how would she act? And the woman I'm being called to be is not going to be the one who does this to somebody else. I'm just not. All right, Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. This goes hand in hand with what I just said about being an example. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special anonymity, with special care, the anonymity of all AA members. I have the right to tell you about that I'm an Al-Anon. I don't have the right to say anybody else is an Al-Anon. I have my husband's permission to break his anonymity in circumstances like this in recovery. I could probably break his anonymity in other circumstances, but I choose not to do that. But that's because I've had that conversation about it. I will tell you, I had it happen a couple nights ago, and I've known because I know Yvonne and how this is working. I know this is being recorded. And they asked about that early on, but I had a speaker meeting the other night to ask, can we record you? And I said, yes, that's fine. I don't mind. Everybody in my world pretty much knows I'm an Al-Anon. I'm not exactly quiet about it, as you can tell. When I was from 2000 until 2018, I worked for one particular boss, and I had not told him that Kent was an AA and I was an Al-Anon, and we were fixing to move into our new offices. And the only weekend we had anything planned in the 6 months we were supposed to move was Founders Day weekend in Ohio in 2001. And I'd been with him just over a year. And that was the weekend they picked for us to move, was the weekend that we were supposed to be at Founders Day. And I had to go to him and say, I'm supposed to be out of town. And he said, can you cancel it? I said, I'd rather not. And I had talked to Kent beforehand. And he said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Akron, Ohio, which in Alabama gets you the, why are you going to Akron, Ohio? And I told him, I said, we're going to the AA conference celebrating the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous. Kent's a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm a member of Al-Anon. And he's like, okay. And from that point forward, my boss took the position that anytime I spoke in AA or in Al-Anon, it was community service. And he never made me take my own vacation time to go speak. He let me go, and he didn't make me take vacation to do it. He said, you are carrying a message of hope, and you should do that. I gave him a copy of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I gave him a copy of how Al-Anon works. I would talk to him over the course of different times in the years. He would ask me questions. I worked for a judge. And at one point, we were in court, and we had a young lady who was in trouble, had been in trouble, and she was trying to get herself out of trouble, and she was talking, and I was sitting there doing what I was doing, and she said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I did not realize what a big deal this was. I'm so sorry. This was July. She said, I promise if you let me out, I will have a sponsor by September. And I jerked my head up. I'm like, September? This was July. And my boss sat directly behind me, and he said, I'm going to take a 10-minute recess and consider your request. And we got in the hall, and he said, what was wrong with that response? There was something clearly wrong with what she said. I said, if she wanted a sponsor, she'd either already have one or she'd get one tonight. And he said, all right, what happens if I give her a chance? I said, as long as you drug test her, I'm guessing she'll be back within a week. He said, really? I'm like, yeah. So I said, all right, I'm going to give her a shot. And he told her, I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to have you drug tested. And literally within a week, she had tested positive and she was back. But it's circumstances like that where I've been able to use my experience to help him make decisions. So this idea of, but the anonymity thing. So a number of years ago, somebody called and asked me this big, said, I heard you on the internet. And I said, what? She said, oh yeah, you're all over the internet. I'm like, oh good Lord. So there's stuff out there. People have posted. I have no idea who's posted. At this juncture, I don't care, but it would have been nice early on for people that have posted. I know people have posted in the chat. Can you send me your phone number? If you want to get in touch with me, you guys have to go through Yvonne and Billy, and we'll just see what happens. The other thing about this tradition 11 or public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. I do more harm when I try and push other people into the program. I can be an example. When my husband got sober and I started going to Al-Anon, at his first home group, they pulled him aside with less than 30 days sober and said, do not let her go to Al-Anon, it'll turn her into a bitch. And my husband said, God love him. Well, that hasn't been my experience yet. And at the end of those 2 years, when my husband ended up having to switch home groups because his school schedule changed, people from his home group would start calling us and he'd say, hey, is Corey home? Can I talk to her? And I'd talk to people from his home group and says, I've got a new guy. Will you talk to her? Will you talk to his wife? Will you talk to her husband? I said, yeah, talk to anybody. People know they can give my number out, that I'm willing to talk the program, but I do not go out and solicit because it will do more harm. I know for me, in my last inventory, I discovered I am defiant. I had no idea that I was defiant. Primarily, I'm defiant with my husband. If he says to me, you need to, you should, I'm immediately not going to do whatever he tells me to do. I'm going to stomp my feet, put my hands on my hip and say, you're not the boss of me. But if he says to me, you might enjoy this book, I'm going to read the book. You need to read the book? Oh, hell no, I do not need to read the book. I'm not doing that. So if I am that defiant, imagine what other people like if I go to them and say, you need to go to Al-Anon because you are sick. Now, profoundly and deeply affected, I'm here. People know how to get in touch with me, but I'm going to respect others to have their own journey. In my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, everybody on the planet is given an opportunity to develop a relationship with the God of their understanding. I happen to get my invitation through the disease of alcoholism, and I stay connected to the God of my understanding through Al-Anon. I know that's not been other people's experiences. Who am I to know what their path is? I just know what my path is and what's worked for me. which brings me to tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever remind us to place principles above personalities. I have said, and I said at the beginning, if you want to learn how to place principles above personalities, get involved in Al-Anon service work. We're all here because we're not all here. And that's why my sponsor repeatedly reminds me, use your talents for good and not evil. Use your assets for good and not evil. My nickname in my neck of the woods is the most resourceful one. I can find out all sorts of stuff. And she says, that's great if you're doing it for good purposes. It is not so good if you're doing it for bad purposes. So use your talents for good and not evil. It's about trust and respect. My anonymity is mine to protect. I'm also responsible for protecting yours. It's not up to me to tell anybody who's been here, who hasn't been here. I just read a book and discovered that somebody, that the person who'd written the book was in program. And I was like, wow, I had no idea because of the anonymity. And that was just so cool to me. So if I have to place my principles, my personalities, I get back to what I started with, that whole synchronicity thing about what are my principles? What principles am I practicing here? And I need to know what my principles are to put those above any personalities I may come in contact with. Somebody at one of my meetings years ago said, you know you're getting better when you're okay with not liking everybody in the meeting. You really know you're getting better when you're okay with not everybody in the meeting liking you. And that's very true. I am not here to develop a social circle. It might happen, and it has happened in the past. It hasn't remained that way. We've been through cycles, seasons of social events, so to speak. This is not a social club. This is, if that happens and I have that opportunity, that's awesome. But it's not my reason for being here. I am here to recover from the disease of alcoholism, how I have been profoundly and deeply affected by the family disease of alcoholism. When I am asked to sponsor people, my sponsor has said to me, you might be fortunate enough to develop a friendship with these folks, but never forget your primary purpose is to be their sponsor. And if you get so close to them, you can no longer sponsor them. We need to have a conversation about that. I have sponsored people I absolutely adore. I continue to sponsor people I adore. I have sponsored people I'm not incredibly fond of. What has happened in those circumstances is they usually wander away from me. You can tell I am very program oriented. I am not listening to a bunch of stuff about what the problem is. I want to be in the solution. We know what the problem is. The problem is, one, you are profoundly and deeply affected by the family disease of alcoholism. The problem is, two, you probably want somebody else to be different so that you can be okay. And three, you probably want them to change so that you don't have to. We know those are the problems. Let's get to the solution. What do you need to do to be different? You know, what do you need to do to be able to let go of wherever they are, right? How you have been affected, how is that driving what's going on? Somebody said a number of years ago, I am committed to the journey, but not necessarily the companions. And I have held true to that because I am on the journey and the path for recovery. And people will come on my path, they will stay on my path, and they'll wander off of my path. And that is fine. People come and go. I have said to particularly one woman who's just recently retired, we've talked a lot about the idea that there is a beginning and a middle and an end to every relationship. And sometimes that beginning, that middle, and that end is very quick. Sometimes it's very long. Sometimes the end is drawn out. What I told you, I'd never voluntarily left a relationship. Well, actually, I probably didn't tell you guys. This probably told them that on Thursday night. Anyway, I get confused with who I've told what. I have never voluntarily left a relationship until I came to Al-Anon. I'd hold on until I died. And what I've learned here is the pain doesn't come in letting go. The pain comes in holding on when it's time to let go. And I said to Kent yesterday morning that I'm getting to a place. I am beginning. I recognized it yesterday. I was off work yesterday and somebody called and said, I need to talk to you. And I just texted him back and said, I'm off today. I'll talk to you on Monday. And I'm getting to that place of where I'm beginning to let go of where I'm at work-wise because I am moving towards retirement. And my job is, at Practicing Traditions, is to build a very firm foundation for my current boss and her going forward. but it's to build the foundation. It's not to be the foundation. I am not going to be the one there, and I'm letting go of things. I'm letting other people go to do what they need to do. My job is to proceed as the way opens, to walk in the direction of my dreams. Where I end up is up to God. If I continue to follow this path, I will continue to grow spiritually. And as I continue to grow spiritually, people will come on my path. And people will go off my path, and that is okay. That is absolutely okay. I have a life today absolutely beyond my wildest dreams. And it is directly and indirectly related to the work that I have done in Al-Anon and to the work that my husband has done in AA. I wouldn't change one single second of anything I've had to go through to get here. I wouldn't want to relive a lot of it, but I wouldn't change a single second of it, because it has taken everything to get to where I am today. And I have a life today that so far exceeds any expectation I ever had when I got here. We say a lot, keep coming back. I say stay. Stay with us. Stay with us long enough to discover what the God of your understanding wants for you, which I believe is what he wants for all of us, which is to be happy, joyous, and free. And the only way I have discovered that for me is for me to do the work in Al-Anon. I love Al-Anon. But I will tell you, as I said earlier, I don't change in meetings. I get inspired to change in meetings, but I change by following suggestions of what other people have done and as what has worked for them. I change by following what other people have done and it hasn't worked for them. And okay, that did not work for Yvonne. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm going to try something different. There is such a community here. You know, the fact that we have 156 people on a Saturday morning listen to me talk for God knows how long from all over the world reminds me of what a remarkable fellowship we have and what experience, strength, and hope we have to share with each other. You know, when women call me and say, I haven't asked to speak, I don't want to speak. I'm like, do you know who you're talking to? Why wouldn't you share what Al-Anon has done for you? For goodness sakes, get out of self. And that's the goal, isn't it? To get out of self, get out of self, and get out of self. And I do it by showing up when Yvonne calls and says, will you do this? Sure, I'll do this. It's a Saturday, okay, I'll do it. I had somebody call me from California and say, will you do this thing on Thursday night? And what I realized was I don't do time zones. And I don't do math. And I told him, if I had known what time it was, I'd have said no. But that experience, I'm glad that I did it. But I'll just tell you, if you're in California, if you've got an evening meeting, I am not talking at your evening meeting. I'm just not. I don't do well in the evenings. I was up at 10:30 and then I get up at 3 to walk the dog. So it was not, I slept for 4 hours yesterday morning. It was unbelievable. But I learned that by following the suggestions that you guys have given me, by figuring out who I am through the steps that you've given me, by continuing to practice these principles, by applying the traditions, by doing the concepts, by working with people, by sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And every single person who is on here has got some experience, strength, and hope to share with somebody else, whether they're brand spanking new, whether they've been here a while, or whether they're old as dirt. We all have something to share. And I just want to thank Yvonne for asking me to do this. If I hadn't said yes 6 years ago, I wouldn't know Yvonne. You know, and as a result of me knowing Yvonne, I know Patty. And as a result of me knowing Patty, I know other people. I know Carla as a result of knowing Patty. I have no idea what the God of my understanding has in store for me when I say yes. And I suspect if you're willing to take that chance, your world will open up beyond your wildest dreams too. So I'm done talking now. Thanks, Yvonne.
Yay, let's give her a hand. Unmute yourself. Let her hear you.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Corey.